First, it takes faith. And sometimes don't you feel like your faith is just really wee, teeny tiny faith? But he wants us to have this amazing faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is anyone praying for something not seen? Maybe you're praying for a husband. Maybe you're praying for a prodigal to come home. Maybe you're praying for a raise. Maybe you're praying that you can just make it through the day. I don't know where you are, but right now you don't see it. But faith sees the unseen. That's where faith just like launches and it jumps off. And it's faith for the future. Faith is very futuristic. It's not really about this moment and the flower that's in your cupboard. It's about what's coming next, what's coming down the pike. What has God got for you? And all the promises in him are yes and amen. And so we have so many promises to cling to put in our future for faith. You know, I was home during the break visiting my mom in Ludington, Michigan, and it was about 10 degrees. And so going home, my mother lives in my grandmother's house. So it gives me a chance to remember who I was when I was about this big and to think, God, I had no idea what you were going to do in my life, through my life. And so sometimes that's what happens. You just can have the future unfold before you. Now, I know some of you are getting older, but you know what? Sarah got started at 65. Okay? So don't you check out now and say, well, yeah, if only I'd had faith back then. No checking out. There's always room for faith, no matter where you are. But anyway, while I was sitting there, I was looking at photographs and stuff, and I started thinking, you can really learn a lot about a person through their social media posts. On Facebook, whatever, Instagram, whatever makes your float your boat. And I started thinking, you know, foodies, what do foodies like to post? Yeah, and they make us nuts. Like, you know, okay, Terry Horger, you make the best biscochitos ever. And I watch her family all holiday season making biscochitos and tamales. And I'm like, she's a foodie. Gotta be a foodie. And then there are other people who are fashionistas. And so they post things like their new tennis shoes. And they're like, look, I'm a cool girl now. Because I saw college girls wearing these, so I think that has to mean I've lost like 10 years. Just right now, putting these shoes on, I have gone down in my age range. And so that's what we like to post. Now you all be running out to look for, I don't know, these are the three-stripe Adidas with the whatever. Whatever. Okay, and then there are people who are like travel nuts. And you see mountains and valleys and sunsets and shimmering seas and all these things, and it gives you wanderlust, right? Oh, if I could go the places that they go. So I was visiting in my grandma's library, my mother's library, and there's pictures, frames festooned on every shelf. And would you know it? I looked at the frames and I didn't see one cheeseburger framed in my grandma's library. And also the thing I didn't find framed was the latest It bag. Not there. What are in the frames? People. My family. Not famous people, but my family. My mom was a hottie. Okay? And, you know, she's 80. I'm not saying she's not beautiful, but golly, back in the day, she wore one of those open midriff things. Like, she had abs. I'm like, Mom, you were rocking it. And, you know, like anybody wants to see their mother's abs. I don't know. That's just kind of weird now that I'm thinking about it. And then there's my siblings who are just kind of, you know, married or graduation or big events in their lives. And as I was sitting in that library, it's been in our family for generations. So the fireplace is carved marble. And my uncle sent it from New York. It had come from Europe. Crazy, but it happened back when my grandparents were around. And there's these statues that are antiques, and I'm looking at everything, and I'm thinking, like you are, if the house was on fire, what would I grab? Your pictures. Because you can't recreate those moments. Well, if you will, the Bible is God's photo album. And in here are the pictures and portraits of his family. And Genesis is in the family tree, right? We're going back to the very beginning with Eve and Sarah and so many of these great ladies. So we're going to learn to live relationally, because in the end, that's the most important thing. If you're rich in friends, you're a very wealthy person. Because that's what we need more of in our lives. Now look at, people are patting their friends next to them like, you're a diamond. Ruby, you're a pearl. And so it is. Doesn't it say a pearl of great price and that a virtuous woman is far above all rubies? That's the truth. Remember that. That is the truth. You are valuable in the sight of God. You are a precious treasure. And He nurtures you and watches over you. And He's refining you and shaping you and chiseling you to make you sparkle and to make you shine. So we're going to see these women, and some of them sparkled and some of them didn't so much. I think most of you are here tonight because on Saturday and Sunday I said Potiphar's wife was naughty. And that she could have hashtag naughty on her social media. So you're like, who is this naughty woman? what did she do? So anyway, we're so excited about this semester. And we thought we'd kick off by being more relational and kind of saying, pull up your couch and join us and get to know us as sisters in Christ. So Janae and Zanetta are helping with the teaching this semester. And so we thought we'd come up here and talk a little bit about the women of Genesis and the women in our lives. So please welcome Janae and Zanetta. Woot, woot. Oh, good. The lights are up. I can see you now. I felt like I was at a disadvantage. And as we're looking at these women, and while I was home, I was seeing they kind of fall into different categories that we could have topics of conversation. And one of the first categories was the fall. You know, we jump right into Eve at her worst moment. You know, it's not really the time that you want the social media camera pointed at you. Selfie falling. And so you have Eve, and then you move to the next woman that we'll study, and it was Noah's wife, who happens to be nameless, but it doesn't make her unimportant, because she witnessed the fall of mankind. It wasn't just the family, the first family falling. It was all of humanity was wicked, and God said, I need to do a do-over. And so we were just talking today about looking at our lives and saying, where are some of the falls? Where are some of the areas that we can relate to these ladies? And so, Janae, do you have one of those spots?
I would say that I related most to Eve in the sense that it was my failure. And I think a lot of times when we think of Eve and when she fell, we sometimes think like, oh, she must have lost hope, must have lost faith. Something really pulled her away from believing in God. And I don't believe that was the case. I think she loved the Lord. I think she was tempted. And I think by that temptation, she had taken the Lord off the throne of her heart and placed herself there because she wanted something. And I think that's where I can relate to Eve. I did that in high school. I grew up in a Christian home and I loved the Lord from a very young age. But in high school, I served man. I longed for man's approval and not God's approval. And so I sought after boys. I wanted to be the prettiest girl. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be the fastest runner on the team.
And she's
I
fast.
Just... I just
she's
want
pretty.
Stop it. I just wanted to excel in all areas, but it wasn't for God's glory. It was for my glory. And so I just stumbled in that way and I really fell. I didn't stop believing in the Lord, but I stopped living for the Lord and I stopped serving the Lord.
You know, it's funny because the enemy was pretty tricksy. Those hobbitses, they're so tricksy. Anybody remember Lord of the Rings? Okay, good. You know, I don't know, I'm milking you. But so anyway, he was very tricky because when he first came to Eve, he said, you know, can you eat of this tree? And she said, no, we can't even touch it. So she passed the first test with flying colors. It was only after he enticed her with some very good rationale that she succumbed. And so it's kind of what you're saying. It's not that you didn't know better. It's just you wanted something that God didn't want more. And that can send us sideways. Z?
Mm-hmm. Well, much like Janae, I kind of put myself on the throne of my life. And, you know, going back to before I knew the Lord, which is over 12 years ago, before I was saved, I had trouble or a problem really with drinking and drunkenness and drinking maybe a couple bottles of wine each evening.
She didn't say a couple glasses of wine. Did you check that out? A couple of bottles of wine.
Right.
So I just wanted them to emphasize that's a pretty big fall.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Zanetta. No, it's good.
You were just a horrible person.
I was high tolerance.
No, high tolerance. No.
I didn't mean it that way. I just was like, you know, that's
no. Yeah. So this is before the Lord, and it was my kind of normal life. But then after being saved, I started learning different things and like, oh, and I don't really want to do this. And, you know, then the Holy Spirit's in me and I'm starting to get convicted over these things, but I kept doing it for the first couple of years after being
Christian.
A believer. And I was a believer. I was saved. So I was falling and stumbling over that over and over again on a daily basis. And, and looking back, you know, I can see that I wasn't, calling out to the Lord in those moments. You know, he promises that he will deliver us. He'll make a way out of temptation, you know, for us. And we have to ask, we have to be looking for that. But instead, I was really just making provision for that, for the flesh. And that's what I wanted to do. And I would do what I would do. And so that was kind of a long falling.
At those moments, it's phone a friend. Right. I need help. Okay. This isn't like a bottle of wine, but I love cookie dough. Ooh, love cookie dough. Raw cookie dough. I know salmonella and all that stuff. Please don't come up afterwards and tell me that. Okay, I already know. Okay, but I will actually buy rolls of Pillsbury dough. Oh, thank you, Susan. And I will go by and chop a little piece off and then chop a little piece off. Somebody out there is going, that is so disgusting. I'm telling you, it's like crack cocaine. Once you bring that roll into your house, and this girlfriend of mine already had the salmonella thing, and so she called me one day and she said, what are you doing? And I go, eating cookie dough. And she literally drove to my house, opened my refrigerator, took the cookie dough and left. I mean, that's a friend. That's really a friend. And so, you know, we're really hoping that this semester and living relationally, we can take away your cookie dough. No, just kidding. But that's what we're here for, to be sisters in Christ and to be available, you know, to help one another.
Yes.
So that's kind of the fall. And then we move into these women of faith. And we jump, Genesis from chapter 1 to 11 is really kind of all bad news and genealogies. Until you get to 12, and then God's going to call Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And once God really introduces the concept of faith, that by faith Abraham needs to do this, he introduces a woman of faith. And for whatever reason in the Old Testament, women aren't named that often. If you go back from Eve to Sarah, and I don't know how many generations Methuselah's in there somewhere. He lived like 800 years or whatever. And there were only two other women named. So when he introduces Sarah and starts naming women, he's introducing faith, ladies. And you can be faith bearers. You can be torches in your home and in your family and pick that up. And so I like to think about not just our failure moments, but our faith moments.
Yes.
And so, Janae, give us a triumph. Give us, you know, it could be you. I love your mom.
I'll talk about my mom.
Okay.
I like talking about other people better than myself. My mom is a prayer warrior. She is a faithful follower of the Lord, and she always has been since I was really young. She's always had journals, and she always tells me to this day, Janae, when I die, since you're the sensitive kid, I need you to keep my journals, because there are providence of what God has done in our family's lives, in her life, in my siblings' life, lives. And it's because she prayed through the big and the little things, and she wrote it all down. Mm-hmm. And she is able to flip back into the 80s of prayers being answered. And so I would just encourage you to be, as Lenya said, to be faithful women, but also be faithful in your prayer lives.
Amen.
Because prayer is what changes things. And that, who I am, who my siblings are, we had a lot of different falls, a lot of different struggles in our lives and in our walks with the Lord, even though we knew better. And I believe we got through those things because we had a mother who was constantly on her knees in her war room. And
hey,
I think,
mother.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage you also, if you're circling your kids in prayer, there's a book out there that I'm reading. It's amazing. It's called Encircling Your Children in Prayer. And so I'd recommend that. But also, it talks about generations. You might not see the fulfillment of your prayer today, maybe not even in your lifetime, but prayer does not die with you.
That's right.
When you go on to heaven, your prayer remains.
That's good.
And the Lord will answer those.
Amen. Hoorah!
Amen.
If you're not a journal keeper and you're feeling guilty that you don't have them from the 80s, these serve as really good journals. Because you get to write notes and transformational notes, and the last section really is kind of a journaling section where we ask you to write things, put them in prayer, make a faith stance, and those kind of things. And so imagine just kind of collecting these and having them as a remembrance of you were a woman who studied God's Word, and you wrote down, you know, what the Lord was speaking to you. So we really recommend, you know, that, look, if you don't know how to get in God's Word, this is what this teaches you to do. Pretty basically, this is teaching you each day how to develop a quiet time and how to listen to God. So, Z.
Amen. And that getting in God's Word is what will build your faith. It is one of the things that will build your faith. For me, going back to the fall, that I just shared and working through that, and the Lord seeing me through that, but it was a lot of choices that I had to make on my end. I didn't know what was on the other side of that, because when I finally made the choice, this is not going to happen anymore, it's like a wall between myself and the Lord fell down.
Awesome.
And
mm-hmm.
It took me into another level with Him, and reading His Word and doing Bible studies like this, I started understanding things a little bit more, and I had no idea He was going to give me a promise that He gave me regarding my family, and this was back in July of 2007, and that was going to require a great deal of faith for me. And waiting, and I'm still waiting right now, and it's been over 10 years. But the Lord is so amazing because He will strengthen you during the wait. Mm-hmm. You know, as you wait on Him and just keep moving forward and forward. And faith, too, it comes with a lot of trials and a lot of tests. So look out for those and try your best really to ask the Lord to help you to make the right choices, to push through, because we can't see what He's doing on the inside, but He's really building our faith and transforming us. So...
Amen. Yeah. I so agree with that. And you may be needing to make some faith statements this semester. You'll see later in one of the teachings I do in Sarah that there came a season we did Reload Love, and this was a huge step of faith for me, and we didn't have a penny. We had nothing. And the Lord was calling us to Burma, and three of us had no cash to get to Burma, no tickets, no way there. But in our hearts, we kept saying, yeah, we're probably going to go to Burma. And one night, Skip was teaching on faith, and the Lord said to me, you know what? If you just keep this hidden under a bushel, I don't plan on doing anything. But if you want to make a statement of faith or a step of faith, I will meet you. So the two other people I was traveling with, we were right here in front of the stage, and I said, you guys, we have to declare that we're going.
Right.
It can't be maybe sometime. We just have to say we're going. And so we did, and we just started telling everybody. And you know, that's putting yourself out there, right? And so it was really exciting how God provided. And so sometimes you've got to step out in faith. You know, in Joshua we saw the priests put their feet in the water, and then the Jordan receded.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's those circumstances. And for sure... everything that these women did, well, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, you know, they were the patriarchs, which shifts us into faith, shifts us to the future, because they were all hoping for something they didn't have yet.
Hmm.
And that's so often where we're standing. It's something we're wishing for, hoping for, longing for, but we don't possess it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have one of those future moments in your life where you're waiting on God for something?
Well, I just came out of a season of waiting, honestly, and just not necessarily waiting for a physical thing, but waiting for a response from the Lord, I think, an answer. And for the last 5 years, I have two beautiful children, and they are so amazing. But for the last 5 years, I have really struggled with the desire to have more children, to have at least one more. It's just what was set in my heart from a young child that I was going to have three. Maybe it's because I want a three. I don't know my logic. It just was what it was. And I longed for another baby so much so that it really ate at me. It devastated me. Oftentimes I was on my knees in tears, sobbing because I wanted it so badly. And to me, it didn't make sense why, if I was married, I had a wonderful family, we sought the Lord, why this wasn't His desire for me. If I'm delighting in the Lord, shouldn't I have His desires? Yet I have this desire and it's not adding up. And so for the last 5 years, I was praying for that, through that, the Lord to change my heart, the Lord to change Nate's heart, something to happen. happen because I just felt like it was a deep season of agony that would go, you know, I'd have a good month and then a bad month and then a good week and then a bad week. All that to say, I would say maybe 3 months ago, the Lord answered that and He allowed me to see that just because the answer's not a yes and it's not necessarily a no, well, it was a no. It's a no to babies. But His no was not that my desire would go away, but that the agony, the longing, the almost the lustful wanting something so bad, that dissipated and that went away. And to me, that was answered
prayer. I
think
it's a miracle because if your mom says that you're the emotional one or the sentimental one, mm-hmm. when she is. She's just, her mom's a crier and she can be too. And so when something's strong on your heart, hey now. So when things are strong on her heart, it really does hurt. You
it's
can
like
see
a
it
it's
in
a
her.
Physical pain that
yeah.
you, I'm a weirdo. So, does anybody physically feel emotional pain?
Yeah,
no,
thank you.
I'm not alone.
So, and part of that for her was Nathan said no.
Yeah.
And so have you ever been so frustrated that you want something but someone said no?
Nah.
Your husband said no, your kid said no, your boss said no, whatever it was. And I just want to put this thought in your mind. God is a God who is sovereign
yes.
and providential. Mm-hmm. And if a man, a human being says no, you might think that it's God. You should kind of understand. You know what? People aren't all born in the United States. People who are born in Iraq and are persecuted, God has put those people there and has put a boundary on them. And sometimes God puts us in a boundary. He puts us in a place. Look, Joseph was thrown in prison and he abounded mm-hmm. in that place. Man said no. His brothers said no. And so God can turn a yes from a no. You can surrender to whatever that situation because God may just be trying to curtail you. And He knows what you're good at, what you're best at. And maybe this isn't best. Maybe something else is really best. And so the no is a really good thing and you should embrace it from God and not be bitter toward
yes.
human beings. Because God can supersede human beings. And sometimes mm-hmm. we get a little sideways with that.
Yeah.
So Z, future.
Future, well, much like Janae's mom, I'm a journaler and I have a lot of prayers and stuff journaled out. And it's really cool now to, I'm not as far along as she is, but...
But you aren't an age either.
But I was looking at prayers over my daughter recently, and it's just so cool to see the prayers that were prayed, that she would maintain her purity, that she would marry a godly man, and then just praying for him for many years as well. And all of those things have come to fruition, and the Lord has been faithful. So that, I just see the future in our prayers and what we're doing and being diligent to do that. And it takes time. It takes time, and it goes back to a choice. Again, there are many of nights I leave from work, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of tired, Lord, and maybe I'll do this tomorrow. And I just the future is too important to miss praying and to miss asking and interceding for those that we love. And then even related back to my promise that God gave me, and that is... It's too big and too huge and too important for the future, for my children, for grandchildren, for all of you in here to even hear the whole story, because God receives the glory for it. And I believe that much way down the road, even when I'm not here anymore, it's a story that will still be told mm-hmm. because it's not about me. It's about God and God being glorified. So,
you know, God's a God of the future. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the God of now, and He's a God of the next. And so you really should live in the future with Him and not get mucked up and, you know, totally consumed with the present. And I tend to be a futuristic person anyway. I think I like that idea better than anything else.
You're anymore. A pioneer.
Yes. And so, and pioneer women, you are powerful pioneer women, ladies. So, you know, go for it. Go out there. But God has designed you for a future and a hope. And so He wants you, you know, to be living as though He has plans for you. And He's not done yet. If He's done, you wouldn't be here. But since you're still here, He probably has a plan for you. So after future, we move into this idea of some ladies who kind of failed. Because you'll see, if you want to just turn in your contents, you'll see the ladies were studying. And so we jumped from the future with, you know, Sarah, and we'll have Rebecca and Rachel and Leah. You kind of jump into these ladies. Dinah was raped. So that's some pretty intense stuff. And aren't we living now, currently, in the hashtag MeToo, in the situations of sexual harassments, in the situations that as women we kind of say we don't have to take it anymore? That whatever we thought, you know, about that paradigm is changing. And so Dinah lived through that. Tamar pretended to be a prostitute. Well, she actually did prostitute herself. Her motive was to move faith forward. I'm not sure that's the way to do it. But so you have someone who prostituted themselves, someone who was a rape victim, and then Potiphar's wife. I don't like it, but there's a changing of the tables. Potiphar's wife was a sexual harasser. Joseph was harassed. And she kept begging him to lay with her. And it says one day I don't know if he's walking by from a shower or what, and she pulled his towel off of him. And so
that's why I said
hashtag naughty. You know, there really were some women in the Bible. And so sometimes there just are flat out failures in our life, a failure to thrive. And so, Janae, have you had one of those fall down moments, or you want to encourage someone who's experiencing that? I mean, honestly, with the number of women here, the odds that many of you have been abused or sexually harassed, I bet maybe half of you have statistically. So
this is a heavy topic. If you have been sexually abused, sexually harassed, raped, it's not your fault. And so oftentimes when we find ourselves in those positions and something like that occurs to us, we feel that we had led ourselves to that place. Maybe we didn't say no. Maybe we allowed a boy or a man in our room, whatever it was. I know for me in my life, I felt guilty that it had happened to me because I am a strong girl. I'm somebody who runs fast, who trains hard, who can wrestle a boy, but in the moment froze and got scared and didn't know what to do. And then from that point forward, I felt like that's your fault. You could have run. You could have said no. You could have stood up for yourself because you're a strong, capable girl. And so I struggled with that for a long time, of feeling the guilt, like I could have avoided it. I could have changed the situation. I could have gotten out of it sooner rather than later. And so if that is you, if you froze in that moment, if you have been abused in any way, shape, or form sexually, I just want you to know that it's not your fault. That guilt should not be on you. That shame is not your shame to wear or to bear. And so to surrender that to the Lord and give that over to Him, because it is not yours to carry.
Amen. Amen. And He does make us white as snow. Mm-hmm. And He does give us new beginnings. And even though some of those things shape us, God can redeem them. Mm-hmm. You know, your worst thing can become the best thing in the hands of the potter. You know, you think about Chuck Colson, this old illustration, but he was put in prison for Watergate, and he started prison ministry from that. You know, and you could say Joseph had a prison ministry. He was sexually harassed and ended up in prison because of it, and he started a ministry in prison. And so, you know, quite frankly, God can do anything. Mm-hmm. And so we want you encouraged and lifted up. And for you to know, this is a safe space. Mm. This really is a place that we're going to love you. And we're going to walk with you. So, Zanetta, I don't know if there's, in this failure realm, you know, you already told us it was bottles of wine.
Well, it gets worse.
Oh, okay.
No, Seriously, though, again, this was before I knew the Lord. I end up committing adultery on my husband. And I get saved kind of somewhere close to all that craziness going on. But I can tell you that there are still consequences for that choice today. And that was about 14 years ago. So there's still consequences for that today, and there's still consequences that even fall on my children and on my family from a family that was torn apart by my choice. So that is probably the biggest failure that comes to my mind, you know, because I see it every day. It's a continual challenge, but I will say this to encourage you as well. If I have learned there's so many that have similar stories, and that's why I'm so willing to share mine, because I want to help you. And I want you to know that there's a story in John chapter 8, if you're not familiar, where this adulterous woman, she's brought by some men and she's thrown in front of Jesus. And, you know, they're saying we need to stone her. You know, this is what she's done. And Jesus says, okay, whoever is without sin here, you go ahead and throw the first stone. Well, they all end up just taking off and nobody can do it. And that woman is left there alone with him. And she looks up at him, and he asks her, where are those who condemn you? And she says, there are none, Lord. And he told her, now go and sin no more.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now go and sin no more. So that is the charge and the word that the Lord has given me. And he means what he says, and he will redeem your life and change your life by a choice that you make. Because there is no condemnation in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And though it's hard, though there's consequences, there is joy, there is redemption, there is amazing promises, there is things beyond my, so many things that he's revealed to me that I would have never guessed that could happen. So, and he uses the things that maybe are your failures for others, to help others.
That's good.
You need to, so we can help other people along.
We can sympathize. You know, it's those things that make us relatable. And so I don't want to put this in a category of failure, because I don't want to shame anyone, but I have suffered from depression. And generally, we don't like to talk about those things out loud. And so for me, it was pretty severe. And being a pastor's wife, you're like, no, this just can't be. And you sure don't want to say that in public. And I think you feel like maybe you're a failure spiritually. Like, I should be able to pray this away, repent this away, praise this away. Whatever it is, it's my fault, and I should do something about it. And it just didn't work quite that way for me. And so for me, I went through a path of counseling and antidepressants. And so, again, I don't want to say out there, if you're struggling from any kind of mental illness, that you're a failure, but you sure can feel like it. And you can feel like, you know, I'm the only one out there that suffers from this. And I would just want to sympathize with you and tell you, you know, if that's where you are right now in fear, depression, anxiety, you can be delivered.
Amen.
You do not have to stay there and live there and accept that as your lot in life, because it is not.
Right.
Fear and faith are opposites.
Yeah.
And the more my faith grew, the more my fear diminished and went into the background. And so, yeah, I had some issues I needed to work on. Hashtag issues. And so anyway, there were some things I definitely needed to work on, and it was my stuff to deal with. But God can deal with it. And so, you know, it's hard going into this, you know, area of mental illness, because sometimes you get diagnosed and then you're like, well, that's just who I am. You know, I'm depressed. I was diagnosed. No, you know, God can deliver us from anything. And so, you know, I know that some of my friends, you know, there was this era when my son was growing up that I think every male child in school was diagnosed with ADD. And it was really just because they were boys. And I was like, you know, every boy does not have ADD. And so many mothers fought having that label put on their child. You know what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
So don't get stuck with a label. Because God can change you and transform you from glory to glory. Yes. And so he can take someone who is a drinker or someone who is, you know, experienced some promiscuous situations or someone who is depressed. And look, he was a God of the future. Mm-hmm. He had a future and a hope for me. He had a future and a hope for you, for each one of us. And so if he does for us, I'm so confident he does for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're just praying that this semester that you will get to walk with these women of Genesis, but walk with each other. Can you walk with each other kindly, graciously, open-hearted, open-handed? And as sisters, you know, there's no shaming. You know, it makes me so angry when someone shames somebody, body shaming, emotional shaming, whatever it is, you know, economic shaming. There is no shame in this place because God has taken away the sin, the guilt, the shame that any of us would experience. And so this should be a shame-free zone where you can be you and you can have sisters who will come alongside of you and march with you into the future. And if one gets ahead, we all get ahead.
That's right.
We're all going to run this race, and we want to make it a relay race, and we want to make sure that all of you are coming across the finish line with us. This yes. one will push you across a finish line because I run with her, and she's fast, and I'm not. And so she comes behind me, and it's always in that last quarter mile where I'm dying. She goes, go, 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 go. And if I slow down, oh, no, oh, no. And so, you know, maybe some of you just need that in your life, a little bit of coaching and encouragement.
I swear it's in love.
It is always in love. And I always do my best runs with her. So anyway, last set, best set. Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So we love you. You can go to your small groups now. And if you need someone to help you get there, look for someone with a lanyard. They'll help show the way. We'll see you next week.